there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Welcome to the 27th episode of The Conversation, a Nordic film podcast. We are back, and now we're going to talk about a huge blockbuster because it had gotten so many great reviews. Even though we talked about how we didn't want to watch remakes anymore on our previous show, here we are.
Here we are.
but well, Tekve, have you been up to something else these past 2 weeks?
Well,
than watching it.
Well, I did sell my car and have been looking around for a new car, and we're also redoing the bathroom, so. But that's not really podcast talk, not really.
No, but it's good to know what you're up to.
Yes, yes. I have been watching Twin Peaks, of course, and I'm up to episode 15, hopefully later tonight.
Oh, wow.
So I am all ready for episode 28 of The Conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to do Lynch next time. The second time, I mean, we've done it before, but we're thinking
I'm so happy about this podcast because we're always doing things that I really love.
Yeah, like like the new horror film It.
Yes, for instance.
Yeah.
But I mean, two episodes dedicated to Lynch, that's something.
Well, it's our podcast. We should do what we like and want to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true.
And that apparently includes blockbusters, apes, and clowns, and stuff. So,
I was the one who pushed for it, but I'm always getting caught up in the hype. You know, not that this will. I mean, it's not foreshadowing what we're going to talk. Well, how we're going to review it. There are good things here, but
you just really have to look for them.
Yeah, in the sewer.
Yeah. Okay. Somewhere. So would you just get into that, or hey, how have you been doing? Have you been up to something no good?
I've been up to many no good things.
Yeah.
No, we have had still like people from Iceland.
Yeah,
from Iceland.
Seems like every show we do, you have some people over from Iceland.
Yes, well, they didn't leave. So last time they were here, I think they had just, like the majority of them had just left, and it was only my mother-in-law who was left here. But then later on, her boyfriend came, and we just started doing some, well, other family things, but they stayed for probably like 1 week longer. So they just left, well, not too long ago, actually, just before, well, Monday, I think, actually. So, well, a week ago. But still, it's been hectic because life goes on, and then you have to fit in meeting family all while all the wheels are turning, you know?
Yeah.
I know. And it's been great fun. It's just been like a lot of stuff to do. So less time for watching anything.
So no TV for you? Just
actually just a little bit of Twin Peaks. But that's because Alien is finally getting sucked into the first and second season of Twin Peaks.
Oh.
So I'm actually rewatching them with half an eye with her.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to episode, I think, 10, something like that. Just when it's starting to be more soap opera-ish, and they don't really know where they're going with the story because things wrap up around the 9th episode, and then you get this stretch of probably 6 or 7 episodes where nothing really happens. It's just soap. but still, I like the characters, and I really want to watch them. And now I'm just watching them with Ellen. And she is really caught up in the soap stuff also. Yeah. I mean, that's just
maybe,
a thing.
Maybe we should save Twin Peaks for next time. But I will say that I do like the soap stuff. I do like the characters, and I do like the whole kind of nice feel of Twin Peaks, along with all the like suspense and the mystery and the weirdness, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm really enjoying the new season, but enough of that.
Let's save that for later.
Yeah.
And we were talking about maybe doing something else along with Twin Peaks, but maybe doing a show about Twin Peaks would be enough. What do you
say?
I
don't know. We talked about Lost Highway.
Yeah. I mean, I would not mind watching that one again and like discussing that one as well.
Yeah.
But I just think there's a lot of content to dive into with Peaks already.
I have been taking notes on paper with a pen.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
I haven't. Yeah. So I need to rewatch it before next time.
Yeah.
At least I probably need to watch episode 8 again.
Just to wrap my head
around that one.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, should we just get to it and go into it?
Yes.
Bill, if you'll come with me, you'll float too.
George. I saw something.
A clown. Yeah, I saw him too.
What happens when another Georgie goes missing? Are you just gonna pretend it isn't happening like everyone else in this town? If we stick together, we'll win.
That was a clip from the much hyped new remake of It, the Stephen King classic, where a bunch of kids face their fears in form of a very, very evil clown called Pennywise. I really enjoyed the miniseries from 1990. I was a small kid when I watched it, and it has been scaring me ever since. Like I've always had a slight fear of clowns because of Tim Curry's version of the It clown. And I've rewatched that one like later on, and it does have some problems towards the end, but it is still like my first entry into this psychological horror film. So so I was actually excited about seeing this remake somehow, because everybody was raving about it and wanting to, well, it has pretty good ratings. And so I've made you watch it. I'm sorry, Trekvi. So do you want to say a little bit about what you enjoyed about the new remake?
So we're doing it this way. We say something nice.
Yeah, I think we should try
before
and focus
we tear
on
into it.
Because,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I liked the music. Takes me back. 80s music. I there was even a song by Young MC. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, one of the first like big rappers. But well, hip hop, really.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think the kids do well acting wise.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's well shot. It's the DP is Chung Hoon Chung, which is he's South Korean. He shot The Handmaiden and Old Boy.
Yeah. So there's the connection.
What's his name? Park Chan Wook, wasn't it?
Yeah, Park Chan Wook. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, but not. I mean, it was really well shot, but nothing. You know, there was some tilting of the camera. I mean, you know, I'm not gonna like rave about it.
There were some ideas that you had seen before.
Yeah,
I think.
I can't complain about it. It was pretty good.
Yeah. I think the overall style and like the, like as you say, the cinematography and everything about it, it was really good. And the kids were, I mean, you get the feeling of this is a version of Stranger Things, right? I mean, mm-hmm. because the guy from Stranger Things is there.
Yeah.
Doing a little bit over the top, an over the top version of his character in Stranger Things.
Yeah. Finn Wolfhard.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
But somehow Stranger Things is like so much better than this.
I think the reason is that you have 8 or 9 episodes to actually build this relationship. You don't need to do it within 2 hours. And therefore, that relationship works much better. Here, they have to be much more straight to the point right away. And it just, I think really it's because you're expecting something similar to Stranger Things, where you have that time and you can't get it in that way. Not when you have a group of, what, seven kids?
It's difficult, I mean, to it's difficult to dive into the characters where there's so many of them. I agree,
mm-hmm.
but it has been done, Rune. Two-hour films, they tend to have the good ones have like mm-hmm. Rounded characters that are not like one-dimensional flat characters like here. That's what they are.
They are.
Yeah.
It's they're so focused on showing what they're fearing, and they try to sum up all their fears into this one specific fear. And then they show that. And I got getting into the bad things already, but I got really worn out by seeing the same formula all the time. You had this sequence with the kids, then you see their fears, then you had a sequence with the kids, and then you see their fears, and it just flipped back and forth like that all the time,
over and over again, trying to startle you, trying to mm-hmm. get you to scream. How many times in a 2-hour film did that happen? Like 30-40 times? Were you like really really startled, you know? How many times does that happen in the whole of first season of Stranger Things? I'm thinking less.
They're not going for the shock value or the jump scares.
No,
they are in it.
Yeah,
and especially the music. I think it's interesting that you say that you like the music. You probably don't like the score.
I like the songs. It got some nostalgia. You know, I'm that old. So, again, the old guy. But
the music and the sound cues were just over the top. I mean, you were not in doubt when you had to jump in your seat.
Yeah.
And that was, it was just sad. You know, did any of that stuff work on you? Did you jump?
A few times I did jump.
Okay.
But during in the first, 40 minutes maybe, then it just got really tiresome. And I just got really tired mm-hmm. of the same thing again and again. And I can't say it didn't scare me. It did scare me a few times, but... that's the reason they made this. This is the first description that came to my head when I came home and our babysitter sister asked us how it was, and I said teenage crap, because this is what the teenagers want. They want to get scared and they want to get jump scared, and that's just the thing they made. They made the thing they wanted to make. The annoying thing, the silly thing, is the reviews. I mean, this is exclusively being reviewed by teenagers? I don't get it. I
don't understand it either.
Again,
it's like this new, like the reason why I always want to go and watch some of these horror films that are actually getting a good bus is because I really want to recapture that feeling I had when I watched It, the original one, at home when I was, well, I was probably like 8 years old, seven. I should probably not have watched it, but I did, and it scared me so much. And I haven't ever really found that like that horror in movies ever since. You know, there are a few movies that do it well. For instance, The Shining, some David Lynch stuff actually really put the fear in me.
Yeah, like Fire Walk With Me, that just scared the crap out of me.
Exactly. but this new modern horror film just doesn't cut it for me. You know, I really enjoyed this movie for the first 3 minutes, 4 minutes, because I liked the first appearance of Pennywise the clown. Mm. When Georgie runs down the street, even if the little hat boat is very CGI created that he's running after, then it falls into the sewage drain, and the sewer.
Yeah,
and the clown is standing there and is actually talking to him, and I really liked the back and forth between Georgie and the clown, how he perceived him as this funny character, a funny witty clown, and I thought he did it really well. Like you thought he was there was something wrong about it. You know,
you mean Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise?
Yeah. And it was unsettling. Mm. And I liked that dynamic. And then, like, you see this old woman coming out, and seeing this guy, like the little kid, talking to someone in the sewer, and she's just like, you know, whatever, feeding her cat and stuff like that. And then you cut to the sewage drain after their prolonged discussion, and the clown transforms into some weird monster crap and bites off his arm just in order to say, like, this is a scary clown. And right at that moment I was thinking,
okay,
no they're more. Not going this direction. Please don't do that. And from that moment on, I lost it. Like, I was not scared of any of the supposedly crap, scary stuff, you know?
Okay.
Because I really dislike gore. I really dislike when it becomes very CGI and computer animated, and it's just not scary to me.
Anyway. Kind of like good gore if it's well done. I like the funny.
It has
funny
to be very
of,
well.
Yeah, also. Yeah, funny,
but I mean,
kind of
but this
gore.
Is so CGI stuff. I mean, you have a clown. You have a really great character right there, like a symbol of kids' enjoyment or something, and you take it and twist it because he has other motives. You know, it's such a perfect symbol of like an evil thing. And I am pretty sure, without having seen the old version in a long time, I'm pretty sure that there's so much more just of the clown. There's no gore. There's no showing the kids' fears, like, physically, like that. Like, with lepers, with people with noses falling off and whatnot. You know,
actually, that scene in the library, that was, that I found that scary.
When he was flipping through the book or down in the basement?
That whole sequence, when he started flipping through the book, and you could sense there was something wrong. You got the sense, now there's something wrong here. And then he is isolated, of course, like they do in these films.
Yes.
And
yes.
He gets a huge scare, and it was a jump scare, and I jumped, and that was a good scene for me. I can do jump scares. I mean, that's that's fine, but keep them to a minimum, maximum of maybe 5 per film.
Yeah,
you know, because for me, the horror is the suspense. The suspense, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, it is. And it's the unknown, which David Lynch is a master of, you know?
Exactly.
Keeping you outside of what really is going on, and that makes you really fearful sometimes, if he wants you to be.
That scene in Fire Walk With Me with the door, when yeah. Laura is sleeping. That's
see, right, my hair.
Yeah, goosebumps. That is some scary stuff.
Yeah,
and
that is some scary stuff, and
just
it stays with you because it's not something that releases as soon as you see it.
Exactly,
it stays with you, and you don't really know why it is that it's scaring you. It's just like
it's just endless payoffs, always.
Yeah,
right away. You can't do that if you want to make a proper scary picture. You can't do that. And I'm sticking by my verdict here, teenage crap. I mean, this is fine for teenagers.
But to be fair.
Let's be
fair. I did like basically all, like the reason why I give this movie 2 stars.
Okay.
Is for all the scenes where there's no CGI in it. You know, all the scenes with the kids, like, interacting, I found that really enjoying. I was enjoying watching these characters interact.
Excellent.
And you know, there were some genuinely funny scenes. There were some really good scenes with Beverly, the girl. When she was at home. But unfortunately, they didn't use that for anything. And actually, that subtracted a little bit from my enjoyment of the movie, because it seemed like, you know, like the whole domestic violence, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely
incest,
stuff, yes.
You know? That was really, it was really... well, kind of hard to watch in a way, and it was very horrific, but in the context of this movie, they didn't, it seemed like they didn't know what they had. Like I felt like those 2 scenes with Beverly coming home the first time, and you got the sense like, okay, I mean, this is bad, you know. And also later when he's actually not allowing her to go and maybe even starting to maybe rape her, it was actually pretty good. I thought
like there was
it
a genuine
was some real
sense
emotions,
of, yeah, sense was, of dread was, going on there.
Yes, but they didn't go anywhere with it. Like she was not affected by this when she was outside of her. Four walls thing. It was nothing that was discussed.
No.
At
it's,
all.
It's an opportunity missed, actually,
yes.
For me. So instead of like applauding them for actually doing something like that, as well as the racism aspect of the, there's a token black kid, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there's like this racism, and they don't do anything with it, really.
They don't.
They have this,
and also the bullying.
Yeah, the evil bully. It's just annoying when people are so one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw his dad, and he was not a good person. And you can sort of understand why the kid would act like that, sort of.
Yeah.
Still, nobody's just acts like that, and just
but there's also something else in this movie, because there is this clown that is tormenting the whole town.
A clown. Okay.
But that leads up to another problem I have with it, because they're always beating on this drum of if you're together, if you don't fear it, it can't hurt you. But obviously it can hurt you no matter what, basically.
Well, they kind of beat it, you know. Back
yeah,
to
they
its,
did. They did beat it.
Place,
they did
yeah.
beat it. It went down to the well, whatnot. But still, It's like, that's just me being logical. But I mean, how can something that is imaginary, basically, which is like the children's fears, how can it actually kill them? So I'm always looking for, like, I'm seeing this story as like the clown is something that manifests itself in front of these kids and making them kill themselves in a way, you know, because they're afraid of growing up. It's like a coming of age story, and all the grown-ups are evil in some way, and you can see that. I mean, everybody that you see in this movie are kind of evil, but I would just love the clown or like that evil to inhabit some of the characters, and that was what I was hoping for with this Billy bully kid. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because he was so evil.
And you wanted to see Killer Bob there. Yeah.
No spoilers, right? but maybe that is part of it, you know? Like, I don't want to see the clown as a physical thing. It is something that they see, the kids, and think is real. But it's actually something completely different that will kill them. And I thought the bully could be that catalyst, you know, to actually killing them, which is basically the evil, you know. But they need this physical presence in order to be killed.
This doesn't bother me, Rune. This doesn't bother me. No, because if you have some evil entity, let's just call it entity, whatever it is.
Yes, yes.
And it's pretty clear it feeds off fear. Yes? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then yeah. Apparently, I get that. I mean, yeah. I get that. I mean, it's not real, but I get that. And I guess the message is found there. Like, you know, fear is, you know, why do I forget the saying now? Oh, how was that saying? Fear, Rune?
Fear is.
So, oh my God, we have to like.
Okay, we'll come back to that.
Yes.
But like to further prove my point with the introduction scene, you know, the fact that Georgie, the little kid, is getting his arm bitten off and then pulled into the sewer, and there are like blood on the street.
Nothing to fear but fear itself, Rune. I looked it up. That's what I was looking for. See, English is not our first language, so there you go.
Yeah. And that's actually also a very good quote from Agent Dale Cooper.
Well, I think it's not.
There's nothing to fear
there, but no. Okay.
You shouldn't be scared. No, you're not scared as long as you can keep the fear from your mind. That's a quote from Dale Cooper.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, you have the thing that could have happened to Georgie was that he was unattentive, like he was running with his boat, it was going down the drain, and then he is getting accidentally swallowed by this storm drain, you know, because it's a storm out. I mean, he's a little kid. It could happen, and then he would drown in the sewer. Like, it's a freak accident. Mm-hmm. But he's being drawn by this evil presence, you know. But by not showing that he's being dismembered on his way down, then you keep that alluring picture in your head. Like, what actually happened? Was it a clown, or was it just some freak accident and he died, you know?
Mm.
Like, it's that kind of thing that I always... Well, okay, maybe it is just not what I hoped it would be. Like, it's not the movie that I hoped it would turn into.
There you go. Have you read the book? Is it a short story or is it a novel?
No, it's like a 1,000-page novel.
Okay. So I haven't read it. So, and I remember seeing the other the TV thing in the 90s, but it didn't stick with me, I guess.
You're also a little bit older at that time. you know, and I think that had a lot to do with it, because watching it now, I don't think it's as scary, but it is because of that clown element. So when you see it as a very young kid, then it really grabs you.
Yeah. But do you know, is the novel, do they come back after 27 years and take it on again?
Yeah. It's a very long story, and they come back, and the miniseries before was also 2 parts.
Okay. So I can't be annoyed with the part one, because we just came off The Apes with three.
We're not going to watch the next one.
I don't think so. No.
I'm sorry. They didn't do it well enough here.
Not with this director. If there's someone who wants to do it properly with proper suspense,
I think they already put the tone down.
Yeah, and I don't think it will change. Signed him on for the second one as well.
Yeah.
Have you seen his first film? Director Andy Muschietti from Argentina, I believe.
Which one was that?
Mama.
The first one?
From 2013.
No,
me neither.
No. I think I heard about it, but that doesn't really do much.
No, it doesn't do much.
On Letterboxd, it has a 2.7 rating.
Oh.
And it's Nikolaj Coster-Waldau in it.
Okay.
The Danish guy.
Good.
So, maybe we should do it. And Jessica Chastain, and that's pretty good. But then again, yeah, I don't know. Maybe not.
So, overall, let's just wrap this up because we have other stuff today.
We do have some other stuff that we haven't introduced yet. But is there anything I want to say more?
Check your notes.
Good. Like about it.
Yeah.
There are some things I could get into, but you know, I think what I wanted to say has been said.
Yeah. It's disappointing. And the hype doesn't help. As always, the hype doesn't help.
Hype never helps. But yeah, one good thing about this movie, very good thing, was that it is very popular. So the movie theaters are filled to the brim.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And we watched it. Kind of an early screening, actually. But those teenagers you were talking about were there. And my goodness, they were screaming. They were really enjoying this movie. Every last drop of it. And every time any of those predictable jump scares came at you, they were just losing it.
The teenagers need their films as well. I mean,
they do.
Their brain
maybe this is
a little
not
different from ours. And yes, they apparently have money as well. So a lot of it, actually, this film is raking in cash.
It is the highest grossing like movie, like horror movie in September or something ever.
Good.
But what does that really mean? Ticket prices have gone up and you earn more on a movie? They should really count how many has actually seen it.
Maybe, yeah.
Like we were looking at tickets here in the cinema, and we opted for the non-IMAX version because the IMAX version in our local theater here was like 135 kroners a piece or something like that. 135. That's quite a lot.
Okay.
What is a 135 kroners?
Let me just check, Grunel. This is good podcasting right here. Let me just check. Hang on.
Yes. Please check what 135 Danish kroners is.
That is 22 bucks almost.
22 US dollars.
Yeah, I paid.
That's the ticket price for an IMAX screening in Denmark.
Yeah, right, I paid now like 2,800 Icelandic, which is over 26 bucks. And that's a luxury room. You know, you get your popcorn with you.
Yeah, okay. So you did go to that.
And you get to kind of, the teenagers don't have that kind of money. So it's like maybe
I don't
16,
even want to pay 16, for that.
16 people in per screening or something. And there was no shouting or screaming at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. Okay. But I mean, maybe that ruined it. Well, I mean, it didn't make for a much more scary movie because everybody was laughably scared when you were just sitting there not really feeling it.
Yeah.
But it made for a more enjoyable experience. At least Elin and I were looking at each other, just laughing at the cute teenagers next to us who were just like cuddling up and being scared.
Bless them.
That's sweet.
Yeah. We practically spent, I did my teenage years in a sofa somewhere with a few of my close friends watching scary movies. I mean, that's the thing we did. And that's just, this is perfect for that. So maybe we should just lay off.
And you do have some good, like, parts in the middle, like, fused in.
We did mention
those
the good
scary
parts.
Just,
we did mention the good parts.
Yeah.
But for me,
also,
at
the
least,
Lois and Clark reference, that was unsettling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Still,
again, that was very good, I must say. But I don't think they knew what they actually had there.
Yeah. I want to just wrap this up. I've had enough of this film. I gave it 2 out of 5. Maybe that's unfair. That's unfair. I don't know. But it's what I was ready to spend on it. So,
it didn't live up to my expectations. And 2 is purely for all those like missed opportunities.
Yeah, a lot of missed opportunities. I agree with that. We pretty much agree here.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Next up, we're going to talk a little bit about a Danish film, which is called Parents, or Rune, you'd say it?
Forældre.
Forældre. And that movie is nominated for the Nordic Council Film Prize for 2017. And let's just, we'll talk a little bit about that now.
Kan du huske, at mor og jeg har snakket om den der lejlighed, vi boede i, før du blev født? Vi har faktisk besluttet, at vi gerne vil flytte ind igen.
Hvad så med huset?
Har du husket det hele?
Ja, alt er med.
Godt.
Hej, skat.
Og sætter stolene derovre?
Nej, altså det har vi da snakket om. Her skal sofaen stå. Ej, hvor er det sjovt, se det ikke.
På vores musikhjørne.
Kom her, Stefan, kom her.
Ej, hvor er det sød, mand.
That was a clip from Parents, a 2016 film from Denmark by director and screenwriter Christian Taftrup. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically.
He is also playing the state agent there in the film as well.
He was also an actor turned director.
So this is nominated for the Nordic Council Film Prize for 2017. It has
already won quite a few Danish awards from last year, or like this year actually.
How do you feel about that, Rune? How do you feel about
it?
We should
get into that a bit later, I guess. But I can tell you that the Robert Awards, like Robert Awards, which is the Danish Film Academy, that has an award ceremony.
Okay.
There it won for the best director, best male lead, and best editing. And later on, the Oscars of Denmark, which is called Bodil here, there it won for best male lead, production design, and best script.
Best script?
Yes.
Okay.
All over the board, it has won everything in Denmark.
Pretty much the same as Hearthstone in Iceland, I believe.
Yes. So, do you remember when I last episode talked about how Danish movies has declined?
Yeah, I do. I do.
This last year.
Yeah.
That's probably part of the reason why this movie actually won.
I mean, I get that my favorite film is Danish, so I do get that. But let's just get into it. It's a story about a couple approaching retirement.
Søren, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Played by Søren Malling and Bodil Jørgensen.
Yes. Søren Malling, which we saw in Hearthstone as well.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
I like him.
He's getting around. He is a national treasure along with Bodil Jørgensen.
Yeah, I thought so. Bodil Jørgensen, I've seen her a few times, and she's very good. She's very good in this, and Søren Malling is also very good in this. Did Søren Malling win this male lead, or was it the young guy?
Yeah.
No, okay.
No, it was Søren Malling, like both times, actually.
I actually do get the production design prize.
Me too.
I get that. It's pretty pretty neat, and there's some neat stuff in there. I mean, it starts out very kind of neatly shot and neatly framed, the camera work, and then we get some handheld stuff when the change.
Yeah. Did you get around to say what the movie was about? I think I stopped you with Søren Malling.
Yeah,
and
you keep doing that.
Yeah.
Okay, it's about this couple approaching retirement that their only son is moving out, going to school, and they find themselves in alone in their big house, and we constantly see them tending to the garden, and we get the feeling that they have nothing to do. And so the man, Søren Malling, he gets the idea to check out this old place they had when they were kids, when they were like starting out. And
which magically is available for purchase.
Well, it was in the paper, Rune. It was in the paper.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, life is all about coincidences, as you know.
It is.
And and he checks it out, and some weird stuff follows, shall we say. Mm-hmm. Do we do spoilers here? I mean, hasn't everybody seen this?
Everybody probably hasn't seen it yet. I guess. But
it's pretty much a given. It's given away in the synopsis, yeah.
It is. I mean, that is the... It's kind of a twist, but it's not really.
Okay, let's just say what happens.
Yes.
Well, the change, actually. They wake up one morning, and they have moved into this little flat they had, and it's very cozy. They like it. And suddenly one morning, they find themselves... at the age they used to be when they lived there before.
Yeah.
Then that's where things get tricky for me. I mean, I'm not going to comment on the change itself. I mean, I don't know really. They see the kind of the change with water. There's there's a lot of running water everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's okay, I guess. But... this is where we start having problems, at least for me, when they meet their son, because time hasn't changed, just them, and they meet their son, which is now probably their age, and weird stuff ensues.
Yeah, it's a bit of a surreal turn.
Yeah,
it takes.
Yes,
and you know. I read a few Danish reviews of this movie, because everybody tends to like it quite a bit. But I also get it, because Danish movies, and I guess to a certain extent Nordic movies have been caught up in this social realism.
Yes.
Vein.
Which we know really well here in Iceland, at least.
Yeah. And the same goes for Danish movies. And all these reviewers in Denmark are raving about this movie because it's finally a director who dares to go into kind of a different direction, a surreal kind of direction.
Kind of lobsterish and, direction, really.
Yeah, but the fun thing, I guess, if you see this as a commentary a little bit on what movies usually are, then you have the very social realistic beginning. Like that could be any Danish movie, basically. A middle-aged couple, guy, like their kid moving out and they have nothing to live for anymore and they're trying to redefine themselves. But then with the surreal turn, it's a little bit of a different kind of movie. And yes, I mean, I would be along with all these other reviewers saying it is refreshing to see something like that. And I think I was also on board with it, actually, to that point. And I was also thinking, okay, this is interesting. Also, when they met their son, I thought it was an interesting thing to see these characters as their old selves and how they're really living their past and try to ignore the present or something. You know, it was a fun situation and you know the. The scene when they go to the housewarming party of their child and are just participating as this regular couple, or like they think they're just a regular couple on the same level as everybody else, and they're dancing and making out, and you can see all the people in the background, like the guests, are just like looking at them, kind of smiling, kind of like this is nice.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun,
but weird. You know? Yeah,
but weird. I thought that was very nice. Like I liked that scene. Like knowing that they were actually much older, that was what they were seeing, but they didn't care. They were just living their lives and that's how it should be. It was nice, you know.
I was a little bit annoyed at that point, not because of that scene, but because of the scene where their son sees them and he just like, yeah, okay,
yeah.
So
yes,
they're like 30 years younger, okay, that mm-hmm. sounds plausible, let's just go with it. He totally accepts.
He doesn't ask
why.
He doesn't see it.
He doesn't see it.
No, he doesn't see it, and none of the guests sees it. You know,
that's the only explanation you can have.
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm thinking. You know, but that being said, it goes much further than just that, and there's a lot of interaction with the son. In very weird ways, and it just becomes, it goes to such an extent that you don't know what Christian Taftrup is actually wanting to say about this movie, like with this movie.
I think he likes to ask the question, what would you do if you get to do it all over again? I yeah. don't think he knows exactly what he wanted to do, like you say.
No.
He didn't have a clear idea of what this was supposed to be, maybe.
No, and again, like I'm sorry, but I have to bring up Lynch here.
Do it.
Because, you know, you could say it's a little bit in the same vein as something Lynch would do. Like, it's surreal in that weird way, and people are changing into other people, but they're not really in front of some people, but... But what's different with Lynch is that I, like personally at least, I always feel like it comes from a place where it makes sense. Like you always have the feeling that it makes sense for someone, you know, and therefore you go with it. Where here, it just, like, his vision doesn't talk to me, so therefore I'm not with it. And when it all comes down to, like, the conclusion, I'm just sitting there thinking, why did I spend my time watching this stuff? Like, because it actually didn't take me anywhere. It didn't engage me in any thoughts that I didn't have before.
Okay. Do you get me? Yeah, I get that. I want to say something about your theory about him not seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did come and knock on his door before, and he kind of was like, "What's this? Who are you people?" And and also with the super weird scene where can I just say it? I'll just say it. Spoiler alert, if you
So if it's really a spoiler.
Yes, his mother moves in with him, and she gives up the father, and she moves in with him as a young girl, and apparently they're a couple and trying to have a baby. She's trying to have a baby with her son. And if he sees her as her his mother, being 50-something, 56, I think Baudelaire's is 56 or 7.
Yes, yes.
That would never happen, Rune. That just kind of negates the theory.
He's always talking to his dad as his dad, you know?
Yeah.
And also when his mom is saying that they're trying to have a baby, he's kind of just sitting there looking down to the, like, into the table, you know, because he doesn't really want to acknowledge that this is actually what they're trying to do.
I can only conclude like that he did not see them as, like you said before, that they that he didn't see them as young. He must have seen them as young. There's no other. There's no way he was going to move in with his mom and try to have a baby with her at 59,
yeah,
or 6 or whatever.
You know what I have been thinking about, because there was one thing I, like, in the beginning I was actually kind of intrigued. I liked this because I really like Søren Melling and I really like Bodil Jørgensen. I think they're great actors. They're great together. Also, I mean, there are some weird constellations with how they interact with their kid and stuff like that. But, you know, just look past that. When he goes, like Søren Melling, the dad, he goes to look at the apartment for the first time.
Yes.
There is this very distinct shot of him and the real estate agent going off camera, and the camera keeps staying inside this living room for an extended period of time.
Okay.
I would say maybe 10 seconds even, with nothing going on. There's nothing going on. And then the dad, Søren Melling, comes back into the room and finds this little heart that he and his wife had done many years ago.
Yeah, scratched on the wall. Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking to Elin and saying, that's a very interesting choice. Keeping the camera, this still frame, for such a long time. And thinking back on it, I am thinking all of this movie plays out in this one scene, this extended shot of the living room. Get me?
Yes.
So it's Søren Melling's, the dad's head. He is thinking, because his wife is not very adamant about moving out of the house to begin with. She wouldn't like to live in an apartment without the garden. She would not like it. That was their discussion beforehand. And then he goes to look at this apartment without her consent, really. And then he starts imagining how it would be. And it's just his, like, how he's dealing with being without his son. And you have a little bit of the, like, that we talked about, like a reverse Oedipus complex going on. Seeing it like that, maybe it could be something about the dad losing his kid to his wife, because she seems to really want to hold on to him.
She seems to, she's way. Really, like, hurt that he's leaving.
Yes. You know, so because of that extended scene, I'm thinking all of this didn't really happen. It is just in the dad's head, and he's pretending. Because I was always thinking also, like, how come they saved all of this crap from the 70s? Like, all these things, like, where did they store it? Like, how can they just bring up boxes and boxes of things and recreate their perfect 70s apartment like that?
So it's about him winning his wife back, kind of, and how we would go about
it. And there you have the symbolism with the water cleansing him towards the end. Everything is a mess, but he's being cleansed, and at the end, he is at ease.
Basically, you know? Their life is being deconstructed throughout that whole period. I think that's a very interesting theory. I do. Yeah. It explains also the end, where everything is back to normal and nothing seems to have happened, and except that his dad now realizes he doesn't have to chase the son for him to stay over and eat dinner with them and whatnot. He just he says to him, "So maybe you can stay over maybe another time. We're busy now."
Yeah.
So.
But I thought that was a bit like, that's the reason why I haven't scored it very high, because you can put this reading into it, but then why would he just, like, throw him out? Like, why, like, what in that period of time has him change into someone who's just saying, like, no, I'm going to treasure my own values or something? Is that because he's afraid that he will take his wife from him? I don't know. I don't think so. Is it because he suspects that he has cancer? Something like that? And he needs to discuss that with his wife? Or, like, do they need some time together because of that? I don't know. I don't know. And I don't think it's a very interesting question to pose, really, like, at least not the conclusion. And I have this feeling that it could be a very, very short story where you took out the whole middle, because it doesn't add anything to the conclusion.
Actually, when you say it, I remember Shep saying this kind of looks like a picture from a graduation piece from a film school. So what you're saying, and I get that, it maybe could have been a short film. It could have been like 20 minutes.
It's because it's this one point that he wants to work with, which is fun and everything, but it overstays its welcome in a way, you know?
So I also have
that in my notes, you know, like, as soon as it changes into these other young people, this becomes a student film.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
It's just,
You didn't rate it at all. I mean, you gave it, what, 1.5 stars out of 5?
Yeah.
I gave it 2.5 stars. I thought it was ambitious. Mm-hmm. And, yes.
And, you know, like, I would probably also go there. I was a bit on the fence with my whole star rating on Letterboxd. I'm always, as I said before, I'm always on the fence when it's 1.5, you know. But I just didn't enjoy it when it came down to it. When it was over, I was just sitting there thinking, no, really.
Yeah.
You know, but now, like, thinking a little bit more about it, I mean, you should at least give it credit for its ambition and also trying this thing that is not being tried very often in Danish cinema as a whole. But, you know, why give it credit for something that is trying to do but doesn't do well?
Well, I mean, why not? I mean, you should be happy with people trying new stuff and getting out there.
Well, you should.
Has this director been directing more? Has he had
just some short short movies actually? Yeah. Like, I think he made something called A Love Story.
Yeah.
Like a short movie.
Okay.
Yeah. And some people like that was like 10 years ago, something like that. And this is his first feature film. So it's he's debuting as a director for a feature film.
Okay.
Right now.
Yeah. So anything else? I want to say something. This is a sore point here.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something that I never seen at your place, which is to wash up dishes. They had a brush, like an Icelandic washing up brush.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys have been wondering about this because we have this here. Everybody has this here. You use these little what's it called?
Sponges,
yeah. And you get your hands all wet and
now it gets very personal.
Yeah, this is apparently they do this in Denmark. They have
these
proper washing up brushes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe that was the most interesting part of the film for me.
Yeah. Well, we do have those. It's a personal preference for me to actually get my hands a little bit dirty and give the plates a real scrubbing with
a real scrubbing,
small sponges. I never feel like you can get the most adamant dirt out of the things without it. And also, we don't have boiling hot water coming out of our
taps.
Faucets. Yes.
Faucets,
taps. Yeah. Let's say taps.
Yeah.
So you can't just put a plate in there and put boiling water on it and it disappears. So you need a little bit more force.
Need some effort. Yeah. Build some muscle.
Yeah. Some knofit, as you say in Danish.
Knofit.
Knuckle fat. Fat.
Oh yeah, yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Another thing I would lead your attention to is the music they're listening to when they're awaiting a visit from their son is by TV2, a very, very famous Danish band that is very good.
TV2?
Yeah.
Well, just like TV2. The TV station.
Yes, like the TV station, but it's very good Danish music if you want to listen to some of that.
Right.
But it's probably a little bit hard because they only sing in Danish and they play with the language in a way that I guess only kind of Danish natives would really get.
Yeah,
but it's very good. You know, they play with the pronunciation of words and stuff like that.
Okay, didn't get that at all.
No, but as soon as they're standing there preparing what tacos or something.
Yes.
Yeah, they're listening to TV2, and it just sets this tone of this is Danish. This is like old fashioned hygge.
Hygge.
You know, it's it's coziness.
Yeah. Danish hygge.
Yeah,
okay, Danish hygge. I'm gonna say 2.5 stars from me. Surreal, weird, a little bit uncomfortable there for a while. Different, ambitious.
Yeah.
You know, and the social realism you mentioned that has been like overtaking Nordic cinema lately. I kind of enjoyed that the most about the film. I kind of enjoyed the interplay between between Bodil and Søren and what they were going through. I don't know. If it's well done, it's well done. And
you know, these two characters are also the, you know, the biggest actors, you know? They're very good actors.
Excellent
so
actors.
So, of course, this part will not look like a student film.
Exactly.
In the same way. They know how to do this stuff. You know, one of the biggest problems with the student film part of it, the surreal part of it, is also that I really didn't like the two characters they turned into. I was very annoyed by them and the way they acted. I know some people seem to find them completely fine, but there was just something about them that really bugged me.
They weren't very nice.
No, they were very self-centered. Maybe that's the problem.
But I think maybe your theory is the best solution to this. I mean, it's the only thing that explains the whole scenario with the mother wooing the son kind of thing.
Yeah.
That would take place in his head. So,
Yeah.
And we really,
yeah,
really,
that's how my head works. I'm always trying to find solutions.
We really, like, only see the transformation in Søren from his perspective.
Yeah.
So that would support that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, maybe we should add like half a star. I don't know. 2.5
because
is,
of that?
If the theory works.
I should probably take it up to 2 stars. But the problem for me is that I don't know what I should do with this segment. You know, like if it gave me something, if it actually posed some questions that I found interesting, then like this is the type of movie that I would love. This is really the type of movie I would give like 5 stars, basically, had they had something good to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Or like pose to me.
Yeah.
But at the end, you just feel flat and you feel like, I mean, it's just not.
There's nothing there. It's not really, not really that interesting.
No.
There's that word again, interesting.
And it's very sad because it is very ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe along the same lines as it, it's just not the movie I hoped it would be.
Yeah.
You know, and can you really fault it for that? I don't know, but like personally, I just didn't, it didn't stick with me.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to watch it again.
Yeah, so. Me neither. Actually, me neither. We should mention the other films that are being nominated for this prize, Nordic Council Film Prize.
Yeah.
Parents, of course,
we
from
already
Denmark.
Saw two of them.
Little Wings from Finland, Heartstone from Iceland, which we talked about, Hunting Flies from Norway, and Sami Blood from Sweden. All of these films are by first-time directors, so I think they're like focusing on that this year.
Yeah, a few years back, the Icelandic director Benedikt Erlingsson also won, I think, this particular prize for his debut movie,
for a very,
Horses and Men,
yeah,
which is your
favorite
film, like one of your favorite films of Icelandic heritage.
Yeah, very good film.
Yeah.
And I am looking forward to an Icelandic film coming. Now it's actually in theaters now called Under the Tree. How is that in Denmark? Is it coming?
No scheduled release yet. But I would probably say PIX Festival, which is in May, if not any sooner than probably at that festival.
Oh my God, the Danish.
Yeah.
Oh, with the release schedules. Again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to recommend this director's former last picture called Pirates of the North. If there's anyone out there interested in Nordic films, you should check that out.
Okay. Well, also just to mention it, for Eldre, parents are in B Bioparadis right now, right?
Yes, at least.
Yeah, so in Iceland.
Yeah, at least last weekend.
Mm-hmm. And you can also find Parents on Google Play Movies.
Yes. Yes.
Rented for about like 39 or 50 Danish kroners.
Yeah, you need to put that into US dollars.
Yeah. That is 50. That's I guess that's 10 bucks. Kinda.
Okay.
Like how many things do you need to translate it into? Like euros, US dollars?
I mean, dollars is the thing.
Pound sterling?
Yeah, dollars. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, but you know, it was fun watching these two movies.
Was it
anyway? And and you know, yeah. It was good to get it out of our systems, and I always enjoy watching a Danish movie. Unfortunately, it's not that often that I get like blown away by them. Mm. I'm waiting for that movie that I'm going to be blown away by, a Danish movie.
Yeah, we actually talked about this week.
But they're both kind of surreal, so there was actually a common theme.
Yeah, there is that.
Lucky coincidence.
Yeah. We have a theme. I mean, but that's 4.5 stars out of, you know, for the show, out of 10.
That's a success.
So that's below expectation, shall we say. I was so looking forward to Parents because I didn't like it. And it just didn't happen.
Maybe we should just start wrapping it up.
Hang on. I wanted to say something to you because I just saw on our Hangouts something I sent you this week, which is about...
Aronofsky?
No. That's okay. Another thing. Let's talk about that some other time. Did you read it, by the way?
I didn't read it. Yeah. I'm sorry. I've been listening to some other reviews Well, maybe it's a little bit along the lines of Foreldre with Christian Taftrup doing something different that kind of splits the waters, apparently.
But I did send you something else. Jim Carrey's returning to TV.
Yes. Yes,
something made by Madna Michel Gondry. And it's called Kidding. Mm-hmm. So I thought that would interest you.
That does interest me. It also scares me. It's like
never go
it's
back.
It's a mixture,
okay.
Yes. Yeah. Because ever since Eternal Sunshine, I'm not sure that Michel Gondry has actually made something that I really care about. I appreciate Signs of Sleep. I like his attention to like in camera effects and stop motion and that kind of stuff. But I'm still not like completely taken with it. But it's a beautiful film, Signs of Sleep. But his next movies like Green Hornet, Be Kind, Rewind, those kind of things. It's just like it's not the Gondry I fell in love with, at least. Mm-hmm. And hopefully someone like Jim Carrey can bring him back. But since it's going to be a comedy thing. Right?
Yes.
No?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's called Kidding. So I'm thinking it's a comedy. I think I read something along those lines.
But like a drama comedy though, right?
I'm not sure.
Because, I mean, if it's only going to be this comedy stuff with Jim Carrey and then Gondry trying to be kind of wacky, that could go off the rails, you know? But if it's going to be the... long-awaited continuation of Eternal Sunshine in a TV series form with a depressed guy called Joel Barish, we live in hope, Rune. We could hope.
We hoped for years for a Twin Peaks reboot, and now it's happening.
Not a continuation.
Yes.
It's not
a
reboot.
Yes, of course. Yes. Of course.
So, yeah. But yeah, I'm kind of excited about that. I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do together. Gondry is a very talented director, and Jim Carrey is one of the most talented actors.
Yeah. Something else coming up as well. Stranger Things coming really soon.
Yes, very soon.
Very soon. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that.
So we'll get to see Finn again.
Yes. Yes. And?
Yes.
And also, next time, I think we should do David Lynch.
Yeah.
I mean, we did talk about it.
I am totally up for it.
We did talk about this week that this blockbuster thing is just not working for us.
No.
It's not. And I saw actually a couple of good trailers for something called Thor Ragnarok. Yeah. Very entertaining trailer. And I thought to myself, this is good. This is good. I'll just watch the trailers, be entertained for a couple of minutes, and that's it. That'll be it.
Should we do a trailer show?
Yeah, could do that.
We can talk about Jeff Goldblum in that trailer.
Yeah, didn't we also mention last time the Kingsman? That actually interested me.
I hope we didn't.
Yeah, I mean,
I watched the first one.
You didn't like the first one?
No.
No, okay. I haven't seen it. So.
No.
Do you think it's for me?
It's a horrible. I can't put it into
James Bond meets Spy Kids or something like that.
Yeah, but trying to be cool with all the slow motion, over the top action, bloody violence, gore stuff.
This is a Greengrass kind of thing with fast editing and.
No, it's a completely different type of editing.
Okay.
Maybe if you mix Greengrass with Zack Snyder.
Okay. That doesn't sound so good.
No. And then you have Colin Farrell? No,
yes.
Colin Firth.
Colin Firth. Yes, Colin Firth. Yeah.
Who I really don't know why he accepted this movie. But he brings some class to it. Sure.
He is getting paid.
Yes, he's getting
That's
paid.
Why.
And Samuel Jackson was in the first one as an over-the-top villain. Basically selling SIM cards that kills people, I think. So it's like free cellular coverage that everybody goes to. So you have the kind of Apple thing. Actually, Google does this thing where they sell the SIM cards as well and give you favorable deals. So it's relevant, I guess.
Okay.
In some way.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's not go into that.
That's enough.
This is not a tech show.
I'm not going to see that one. Okay. Okay.
Don't.
Yeah. Okay.
It can't possibly be better than the first one.
I don't know.
But it had some very cool sequences. I saw it. I got free tickets for that one. Just a fun little mention. Hosted by Iron Man. You know, the Man Magazine or something. Is it called Iron Man?
No idea.
Something Man.
No
idea. I don't know. Like a magazine did a big... like pre-release event for this movie.
I got tickets. I see.
People seem to love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I should make up my own mind then.
Yes, you should. But I'm pretty sure you wouldn't like it.
Okay.
It is kind of a blockbuster.
See, this is the problem. They kind of interest you, like this It thing. I was excited to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Monkeys, not so much, but yeah.
Yeah. It's like candy.
It's like candy.
You know, because you see the good cinematography in the trailers. You see what they can do, but then the focus is completely off in the actual movie.
Mm.
Like they just don't have the story to pull it off for two and a half hours, you know? Like, that was another thing. Like, it was way too long.
As always.
Way too long.
That's yeah. another plus for parents. Just under 90 minutes.
Yeah, that was the first thing I said to Elin. Look at this. It's like 85 minutes.
Yeah.
That's great. We'll make it through one sitting.
I was so happy with that.
Yeah. Well.
Okay.
We will try and go a little bit a different route and see some of the more quirky picks, right?
Yes.
The problem we have is that it has to be available in Iceland and in Denmark at the same time.
Yeah.
So that tends to be the blockbusters that get released at the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, it's Lynch.
We'll figure something.
It's Lynch next time.
Lynch.
Absolutely.
Twin Peaks, The Return.
Yeah. Lost Highway, probably.
And probably Lost Highway, because there are some similarities, I would say, without spoiling anything too much.
Someone said that episode 8 was very much like Eraserhead.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to see Eraserhead. I loved episode 8. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
So it's Eraserhead.
And it is with Pete Eraserhead, you know?
Yeah.
Pete. Like Jack Nance. Pete from Twin Peaks.
I see.
The guy who actually finds Laura Palmer in the very first episode.
Okay.
All wrapped in plastic. No? No. Don't get it. Never mind. People who like Twin Peaks would get it.
I haven't seen it for such a long time. I didn't watch season 1 and 2 now. So I'm kind of catching up with the Damn Fine podcast. And just loving every minute, though.
Because
there's so much that goes over your head anyways, if you're an expert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I can say that?
Yeah? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But you're like... Initial thoughts, like, just before we finish off here.
Okay.
Like, you're enjoying it.
I absolutely love. I just wait all day to see one episode per evening with my girlfriend.
That's great. That's great. I'm almost getting tears in my eyes.
It's,
you know,
beautiful.
It has that effect.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is so beautiful.
Okay.
Well, so, Rune, next time.
Yeah, that's it for today, isn't it?
It is.
It's time for the outro thing.
It's time for the outro.
Yeah, that's your department.
Yes. So, as always, you can find us on Facebook. Just go and do a search for us. The Conversation, a Nordic Film Podcast. You can find our page and like it, please. And send us messages there. We would love to hear from you. On our website, theconversationpodcast.net, you can also see all the episodes that we've released, and you can comment on each and every one of them, as well as on SoundCloud. You can find us over there as well. Just do a search for us.
Yeah.
And, on SoundCloud, The Conversation Podcast, a Nordic Film Podcast, and you'll find us there. Also, on iTunes, we are over there as well. And in order for us to rise to the top of those ranks, please review us over there. we would love it. And any other podcast aggregator that you can find, we should be there. Just do a search for a Nordic Film Podcast.
I have an addition to our regular outro.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Twitter.
Twitter.
Yes.
Yes.
I have been retweeting like a madman this past 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And we're called at Pod Conversation over there. And
yes,
we aim to be, I mean, our social media manager does aim to be active on Twitter. And
yes.
We basically just started. So check us out. You know,
we'll share really fun stuff over there as well as on Facebook, right?
Yeah, we will. Yeah.
Yeah.
Follow us. Letterboxd.
We're all floating down here.
Yeah.
Joke.
Letterboxd. Yeah. We're going to make a list, of course, like always.
Yes.
And check us out over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
And follow us, also our personal account, so you can follow what movies we're watching, also the ones that we're not getting to discuss on the show.
But it's a little embarrassing. You know? It's just like since last time, it's just parents and it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
There must come a time when we have more time to watch films, yeah?
Yeah. There must. I have seen a little bit of Moana, actually.
Moana.
Just to be fair. But not enough to actually add it to Letterboxd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Movies like that are just too scary for Rescua, you know?
Yeah.
There like all go. Of a sudden some big thing scene comes and she's starting to almost cry. So then I turn it off. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
That was it for today, right?
That was episode 27. And
yes.
I look forward to next time with David Lynch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've been listening to the Conversation, a Nordic Film Podcast with me, Hone.
And I'm Trygve.
And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.